Take our Bible this morning, turn to John chapter number 14. I was, Lord definitely spoke to my heart this week, and I knew exactly what I was supposed to preach this morning. And the Lord, He gave this to me on Monday, and I began to write it down and begin to put some thoughts down throughout the week. And I said, what a timely message that we need as a church and a church family and as a nation. And because I know a lot of people are very nervous in what's happening in our country. They're very nervous. And people are very afraid. They're afraid of losing their job. They're afraid of losing their way of life. And they're actually afraid of dying. And so many people are unprepared to meet the Lord. And I understand the spirit of fear that is resting upon our nation at the moment. People are afraid. They're very afraid. They're afraid when they go to the grocery store and there's no milk. I was at the grocery store last night. I didn't need any milk, but I was laughing because they had to put a limit on the milk. And they said, we got rows and rows and rows, aisles full of cereal, but we got no milk. I'm laughing. And milk is not something you can hoard because milk doesn't stay, right? People buy 10 gallons of milk. What are you going to do with it? And I'm thinking, my gosh, milk don't last but a couple weeks. You can't hoard milk. And of course, then they hoarded the potatoes, and you couldn't buy no potatoes, and they had to limit the potatoes. And I was laughing with the cashier. She said, people have gone nuts. She said, oh, you don't know how nuts people have gone. And I'm thinking to my life, my soul. I was talking to someone else, and they said they were buying. They don't even have children, and they were buying diapers and Similac so they can resell it. I said, good luck with that. I said, they'll end up in prison. You can't hoard Similac. Babies need it. Babies need that. Right? They need formula. You can't hoard that. And if you hoard the diapers and you try and sell them at 3 and 4 and 5 times the price, you're going to get killed is what's going to happen. I mean, you start messing with babies and people get mad. Look how much trouble them brothers got into with that hand sanitizer thing. And what they were counting on was people's fear. You know what the devil's counting on right now? For people to be afraid. The devil wants to put us in fear. You know what God wants? God wants just the opposite. If you found John 14, say amen, I know you're there. Look what it says in verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's very key here. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive it in myself, that where I am, there I may be also. Look at verse number 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to preach this morning on this thought of let not your heart be troubled. Let's pray. Father, I know we're living in troublous times and people are afraid. And God, but you haven't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And God, we don't have to be afraid because you're still on the throne. And Lord, I pray this morning that you take the spirit of fear out of our hearts and you replace it with the spirit of love and goodness and grace. And Father, that you just would give us the direction and help that we need during this time to navigate our lives and our church and our families and our homes and what we should be doing. God, that we'll have the correct and right response. And God, as fathers and as leaders, as pastor, as Lord, as people in the community, God, as mothers, that we'll have the right words for our children and our family. God, that they won't be filled with fear, but instead they'll be filled with your spirit, Father, and your grace and your help. Please bless the word as I preach this morning. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as I preach on this thought of let not your heart be troubled. You know, Jesus said in the last days in which we are living that these things would come, and so they are. You can't get away from that. Look at Matthew 24, and I'm reiterating this because it's an important thing. Because they say repetition is the basis of all learning, and it is. And I'll say that again in a minute. Repetition is the basis of all learning. Matthew 24, that's why you read your Bible over and over and over again, so that you learn from the Scriptures, and God give us help and grace to know what to do. Notice what it says in Matthew 24, and in verse number 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world. People have called up and says, preacher, is it the end of the world? Well, what if it is? I don't think it's the end of the world, but what if it is? What is our response? How do you handle these things? Is this the apocalypse? I don't think so. But what if it was? How do you handle these things? Is America going to be changed after this 6-month period? Probably. There'll probably be vast changes across America. There'll be vast changes in how we worship in America. There'll be vast changes of how we work in America. There's going to be vast changes in every sector of this world. There's going to be vast changes. Our monetary sector might change. Everything might change as a result of what's taking place. You say, are you afraid about it? No, I'm not afraid, because God's still under control. God's got it all under control. We know that our privacy is changing, because everyone who gets a coronavirus thing, if you get checked for coronavirus, they are putting your name on a list, and the government will surveil your every movement through your cell phone. That's just the way it is. If you take a test, whether you test positive or negative, if you take a test, they are surveilling you. They've said they're surveilling you. And they've partnered up with all the telecommunication companies and all the social media companies, and they are surveilling your every movement, because you could become a national security threat if you are even carrying. Because they say 90% of Americans will not have any coronavirus, will not affect them in any way, shape, form. They won't even know they got it. 10% will feel the effects of it, and of that 10%, 10% of them will die. That's why the panic, because it's so communicable. And so, as these things happen, America is going to change. Our lives are going to change. And these things are inevitable because Jesus said these things were going to happen. Now look what it says. Look what it says. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Let's not be fooled. Because there's going to be a lot of lies out there. A lot of misinformation. A lot of all kind of crazy stuff is going to be spread all over the world. And most of it's not going to be true. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Remember, what did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We know the end's not yet, because Jesus Christ is coming for the child of God, and we're going up. Don't let anybody convince you we're in the tribulation. We're not. We're not going through the tribulation. Jesus Christ is coming, and we're going up. Look what it says. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. And you know there was an earthquake this morning? Earthquake in diverse places? Isn't it funny that all these things are mentioned together? And they're happening, and they're going to continue to happen. And this is the tip of the iceberg. If we think it's bad now, what are we going to do when it's really bad? He said, let not your heart be troubled. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. It's just the beginning. You know, I've been preaching for the last 2 years that the economic meltdown is coming. You know I've been preaching that. And I said, we better hold on to our hat, because God tests every generation. Every century, God sends a test upon the world. And now our test has come. They had the great plague of 1918 when all those people died. Well, this is 2020. And guess what? We are going to be tested. But what is our response going to be? In the face of widespread uncertainty, worry, and confusion, Jesus gives us comfort, clarity, and calmness. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't press the panic button. Right? Don't press the panic button. Christ is still on the throne. He hasn't fallen asleep. He hasn't gone away. And we can have peace instead of panic. Faith instead of fear. Hope instead of hysteria. Calmness instead of chaos. Charity instead of callousness. And servitude instead of selfishness. You know, the golden rule would go a long way in our society. These people that are doing all this crazy stuff and hoarding stuff, if they would think about their neighbor and their children that might need some food to eat, and their neighbors that might need some toilet paper. Hey, and their neighbors that might need something else besides themselves. You know, if we as Christians don't have enough Christian decency to conduct ourselves in the right way, I mean, God help. And see, this is the Bible Belt. Christians ought to know better. Christ is the King of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Peace. He said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." He said, "Have faith in God." We do not have to get caught up in what is happening around us. And I'll tell you what, every man in this room, your wife and your children are looking to you. They are looking to you to provide comfort in their lives. They are looking for you to provide stability. They are looking for you to give them comfort and peace that everything is going to be okay. We cannot be panicking. We cannot be filled with hysteria. We cannot be filled with chaos. We cannot be filled with all these things. People are looking to the church and they are looking to Christians for our leadership in this hour of crisis. What is our response? Our response is simply this: God will take care of us. What did he say? He said, "Let not your..." He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God will take care of us. Can I tell you something? In the 21st century, God is still the great provider. He's the great provider. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let me tell you, God can take... You said, didn't you say that last week? I did. But repetition and reinforcement is so important in our lives. We need to remind ourselves every day that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God can take care of us. You say, "I don't have 3 deep freezes and 4 refrigerators." You don't have to have that. God can take care of you. Did God feed Elijah at the Brook Cherith? I mean, did he have a bunch of deep freezes and did he have a bunch of refrigerators? And did he have a pantry stocked up full of canned goods? Everyone else was doing what... But guess what? God was feeding Elijah at the Brook Cherith. The ravens brought him flesh and bread in the morning and flesh and bread in the evening. And then he drank of the brook and God took care of him. And then when the brook dried up, he went to the widow woman's house, of Zarephath, and he ate of her barrel and the meal that was in the barrel. And God fed her and him and her family out of the barrel. And God said, "The barrel's not going to waste. I'm going to take care of you." Can I say this morning? God is going to take care of us. He is the great provider. He can take care of you just like he took care of Elijah and the widow woman. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And again, this is why reading your Bible is so important. Because reading your Bible will give you peace and comfort that nothing else can. Because we have God's promises. God has made so many promises. And God's promises are true. And we can rely upon God's promise. We can count on God's promise. We can expect God to do what He has said. Remember the Great Depression? You say, "Well, I didn't live then." That's right. You don't know anything about it except what your parents have told you about it. But can I tell you what? There were people that prospered and did well and had everything during the Great Depression. Not everybody suffered horribly. You say, why? Because God took care of them. And God can still take care of us. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His rights reign forever. Now he that ministered seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all boundless, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." You say, what's that mean? God can take care of you. God will take care of you, or every day, or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Don't tell me God can't take care of you. George, has God taken care of you? More than you can imagine. You know what George did yesterday? He asked Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. Amen. And we have been praying for George. Did you do that, George? Yes, sir, he did. I told George, I said, George, I've been waiting 6 months. I've been praying for you, and I've been wanting to help you every day. And God said, don't touch him. Pray for him. George is going to get saved. But he said, when George gets saved, I want you to help him. I told George yesterday, George, if you ask Christ to be your Savior, your life will change just like that, and it will. He asked God to save him. And I said, George, you're going to stay in the mission apartment over here for the next few months and get your life back together. He's going to do that. I'm going to go through the ABCs of Christian discipleship with George, and we're going to help him grow as a Christian. Don't tell me God can't take care of you. The first lesson you got to learn, George, is God can take care of you. Amen. He can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. Amen. We do well to remember that. There's a crisis, but there ain't no crisis in heaven. The crisis is here on the earth. There ain't no commotion in heaven. There ain't no chaos in heaven. And God still has everything under control. Look in Psalms chapter 50 and verse number 10. And we got to remind ourselves of it because we get caught up in the commotion. We get caught up in the panic. We get caught up in all these things. And let me tell you, you got to let your conscience be your guide. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important that we know what God is telling us what to do. Hey, if I woke up in the morning and God said, don't have church this morning, bless God, we're not having church this morning. If I woke up in the morning and God said, hey, you don't need to go to the grocery store today, I'm not going to the grocery store today because I'm listening to what God's telling me. If I wake up in the morning and God says, hey, you better not get gas at that station today, hey, I'm not getting gas at that station that day. We need to learn to listen to the Lord. Psalm chapter number 50 says this, and thank God that it is. We've got to remind ourselves because, hey, the money's not going to be flowing. And the money is going to dry up. Thank God for those that are working. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a vast number of Americans that are not going to be working. But what do we need to remember? God's still working. God's working even if we're not. Notice what it says. Psalms 50 and verse number 10. And he says this, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. The bank of heaven is full. And God can send relief at any moment. You never know what God's going to do. And our reliance has got to be upon Him. And that's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God will take care of us. Thank God He's the great provider. He is the great provider. He will take care of us. He said this, He said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Can I tell you this, the day of trouble? And what all Christians need to be doing? Calling upon God. Did Jesus Christ feed the children of Israel in the wilderness? I mean, you got as many as 5 million people out there. And what are they all telling Moses? Where's the beef? Where's the food? I mean, can God provide a table in the wilderness? What are you doing, Moses? I'm not making that up. Psalm 78:19 says, and the people murmured against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And the answer was, yes, He can. Did God provide manna? He did. Did God provide quails? Oh yeah, He gave them quails so it was coming out their nose. God can provide a table in the wilderness. God can make something out of nothing. Did He make us out of nothing? I mean, did God speak the world into existence? God will take care of us. He's the great provider. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He'll take care of us. The Lord is my strong tower. The Lord is my strong tower. He's my shelter and He's my shade. Look in Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter number 18 this morning. And again, can we have confidence in the Lord? Yes. Can we have confidence in each other? No. But we can have confidence in God. We can have confidence in God. Proverbs 18 and verse number 10, notice what it says. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know what we need to do? We need to run into our strong tower. Run into our strong tower. Ask for God's help. Look in the book of Psalms. I should have had you stay there. Look in the book. We're going to look at several verses in the book of Psalms. Look in Psalms 18 and verse number 2. Psalms 18 and verse number 2. The Psalms were written. The Bible says that the Bible was written through our patience for our learning, that we through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We get comfort from the Scriptures. Psalms 18 and verse number 10, the Bible says this. It says, let me get the spot here. Let me get the right verse I want here. That's not the verse I wanted. Psalms 18:2. Sorry. It says, verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. O God, my strength, in whom I will trust, the buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Hey, you got some needs? Call upon the Lord. Hey, you need some toilet paper? Call upon the Lord. You need some ground beef? You need some milk? You need some potatoes? Call upon the Lord. Don't tell me God can't, take care of these things. The Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is my strong tower. Look in Psalm 61. Psalm 61 and in verse number 3. Psalm 61 and in verse number 3. God is all of these things. He said, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Look at verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Don't you know some people are feeling overwhelmed at this moment? They are feeling overwhelmed. Why do you think they're out buying guns? I think, God help us, you don't need to be out buying guns. You need to save your money so you can buy groceries. Have a brain in your head. I'm thinking, Christopher, he loves guns. He said, let's go down to the GTS gun shop. I went down there and I was freaked out. There were so many people in there buying guns. And the room is no bigger than our prayer room. They say, use hand sanitizer when you come in. You don't need hand sanitizer. You need a respirator when you go in there. There's 100 people in there. And that one little room, touching each other, bumping into each other. I said, what is wrong with these people? I said, that little $1,500 you just spent, you might be needing that in a little while to buy some milk. Your children might need to buy, you might need that to buy some cereal in a little bit here. I mean, what are you thinking? And so let's go over to Twin City and look at the pawn shop. It was the same way. And I'm thinking, and they're selling their guns for a third more than what they're worth. And all the dumb, stupid idiots are going to buy all the guns, and they're going to bring them back and pawn them so they can buy groceries. It's a vicious cycle, isn't it? You know what the problem is? They're pushing the panic button. Don't push the panic button. You know why the stock market's crashing? They're pushing the panic button. A lot of people pushing the panic button. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my strong and mighty tower. Run to the rock that is higher than you. Look in Psalms 121 and verse number 5. I remind myself, I say, Pastor, be calm. I'll be honest with you. When they first start talking this thing and talking 4 months, there was a little panic in my mind. I thought, what's going to happen to their missionaries? What's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to this situation? What's going to happen to Christians who get out of church and they get out of church for a long period of time? A lot of times they don't get back in. What's going to happen to Christianity in America? And I started to panic for about 3 minutes. And the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, buddy, did you forget something?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, I am so sorry. You still have it under control. This is your church. It's not mine." Right? Those are your missionaries. They're not mine. God, I am your servant. You're not my servant. And can I report to you, in 40 years, God's never let me down one time? And I can report to you, there were times when we only had $5 a week for groceries or $10 a week for groceries, and we had two small children, and God always fed us. I saw my sister Barb, and I said, "Ma'am," we were reminiscing. I said, "How in the world did we make it on $10? She said, "Chris, you didn't make it. God took care of you." You can't make it on $10. But God made us make it. God did all kind of things in our lives during that period. When we were missionaries, there were times when I'd call my sister Barb up. She always got our money. I said, "Barb, how much did we get this week, this month?" He said, "You didn't get anything." She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "It'll be all right." That's my favorite saying. It'll be all right. Now, I was panicking on the inside. I said, "We're in a foreign country. And we have no money. And I owe the lady at the corner grocery store, I owe her money because I've been taking groceries on credit to feed the people in the village." He said, "What'd you do?" I got off the phone and I got on my knees. I said, "Now, Lord, Pinky's expecting to get paid this week and I don't have any money. And you still own the grocery store of heaven and you still own everything, the world, the fullness thereof. And God, she's a Hindu, she's lost, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a preacher, and I need to be able to pay her this week. Would you please do something about that?" And about that time, someone come by with a case of Pepsi, and you know how much I used to love Pepsi. I'm old, I don't love Pepsi anymore, I love Coke. Old people drink Coke, young people drink Pepsi. And I used to drink Pepsi by the gallons. And we couldn't buy no Pepsi, so someone came by and brought me a big case of 36 half. I mean, they were 1 liter bottles, half liter bottles. And man, drink two of them at lunch, and two of them at breakfast, and two of them at dinner, and then a few in between. And they brought by a case of Pepsi. Another lady came by and brought me two fresh hot chickens. I said, "God's going to take care of it." The Lord said, "Now, you prayed, now go check the post office. There's something up there for you because you got to pay Pinky." Wrote the post office, opened the thing, and let me tell you, there was $100 in cash, American dollars, not a check, $100 in American cash, which was 600 TT. I owed 300 and some at the corner grocery store, and I took that down to the thing, I exchanged my money, and I went and paid Pinky, and I thought, "Thank God you're still on the throne, God. You're still on the throne." I ran to the rock that was higher than I. And God showed himself real. Hey, God's still showing himself real. Run to the rock that is higher than you. God is the great provider. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my high tower. Psalms 125. And in verse number 1, notice what the psalmist said there. He said, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever." Hey, run to the rock that is higher than you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my strong tower, the Lord is my strength and shield. Psalms 28. And I love these verses because they give me peace and comfort. When my heart starts to palpitate and I start to panic, I remember what God has promised. Psalms 28 and verse number 7. The devil wants you to panic. The devil wants you to be overwhelmed with fear. The devil wants you to lose control. And God says, hey, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Psalms 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength, my shield, my heart trusts in Him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoices in Him, and with my song will I praise Him. The Lord is the strength. He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save my thy people and bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. The Lord. You say, where's the safest place in the arms of God? The arms of God are the safest place. Look in Psalms 91. Psalms 91, and in verse number 1, Psalms 91, it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. The pestilence, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust, and His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Hey, let me tell you something. God has made some promises. He has made some promises. And we can trust in Him. Verse 10 says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You know what I've been praying? I said, God, put a shield over our seniors. Put a shield over people that are vulnerable. Man, I've been praying for Miss Anna. She's working at Walmart. I have been praying with her with all my might. She's working in the pharmacy. She's the first line of defense. And we need to be praying for her every day that God will keep her safe. We need to be praying for Miss Shirley, Miss Maxine, Miss Linda. We need to be praying for Brother Andrew. We need to be praying for our church family that is very vulnerable at this time. Praying for Brother Bill. Praying for every one of them. Praying for Miss Luann sitting back there. We got a lot of people we need to be praying for and praying down God's protection upon their life. Can God keep you from getting the coronavirus? Yes, He can. We're going to have to go out and do some things. And let me tell you, Walmart's going to be one of the most dangerous places for anyone to go. They think church is dangerous. Go down to Walmart and see how dangerous that is. I went down to Walmart and I got some popcorn. I got to thinking about, what are you doing, nuts? You're a nut. Why are you eating that popcorn? You didn't wash your hands. And that bag isn't clean. I'm thinking, you got to think about what you're doing. Right? I've been carrying my pen around again. I said, yeah, I ain't using your pen. I'll be using my own pen. I might need me some gloves. I'm going to clean off my credit card as soon as church is over. The Lord said, maybe you should wipe off your credit card. Don't they hold it in their hand? Money's the same way. And I thought, Lord, I'm telling you, I'm praying for my sister every day. Because if she gets it, she's dead. If my brother gets it, he's dead. And one family up there in New Jersey, they've already had 5 or 6 of the same family members die. And they're not all old. One of them was, but the rest of them weren't. Some of it's genes. Some of it's DNA. What do we got to do? They said people with A blood are more susceptible to get the coronavirus. That's you, Brother Butch. What are we better be doing? You know what I'm praying? I'm saying, God, You're the rock that's higher than I. Please be with our church family and cover them with Your grace. I'm begging you. Will you pray every day for the church family? Will you pray for one another? Praying for Jim and Leslie. We got a lot of seniors here. Praying for Miss Linda. Praying for Neil. Pray for these who are undone and unsaved in our families. God will take care of us. He's the great provider. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my strong tower. The Lord is my strength and shield. Don't press the panic button. Fall to your knees and pray. And find the peace of God in your life. The Lord is my salvation. Psalms 27:1. David gave this great psalm, and this is what he said. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. And whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid?" It was David that penned down, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We know that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. The only salvation for our society and our way of life is the Lord. God has got the answer. Psalm 62, he said this, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down with his excellency, and delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but their curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou upon my God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory and the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. In God we trust, in the government we bust. Well, the government's going to send us all $2,400. You think that's going to solve the problem? Man, the government always wants to put a Band-Aid. They'll put a Band-Aid on a brain aneurysm. A Band-Aid ain't going to fix it. Do you know during the Great Depression that Harding did everything he could to fix it? Or whoever that was, did everything they could to fix it and couldn't fix it? "We're going to do $1 trillion stimulus." Uh-uh. They did $1 trillion. We said, we're going to need another stimulus. Okay, another trillion and a half. And then we're going to need another trillion and a half. Man, you better be printing that money as fast as you can. Now, one thing I like about Trump is he's smart. He says, you know what? China, this is the China virus, so China's going to pay for it. We're not going to owe China any more money when it's all over. Wasn't Donald Trump famous for not paying his bills and writing them off? China's getting a little nervous about now. Because he's going to run it like the Trump casinos. You ain't getting paid. We're going to renegotiate what we owe. You have to laugh, right? Did God not put the right person in the right place at the right time? Amen. Joe Biden don't even know where he's at. I mean, honest to God, he don't even know where he's at. And he's going to help us? I mean, what's Bernie going to do? He said, everybody gets a pot and a bag of rice. That's Bernie's solution. I don't want to be Cuba. I don't want a rice cooker and a bag of rice. I like our standard of living. You say, what are you supposed to do? Have faith in God. Don't press the panic button. Isaiah said, "And in the day, and in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, and call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. A man said, if we ever did need the Lord, we sure do need him now. God is a great provider. Can I tell you something? He's a great preparer. And I'll be quick now. Look back in our text. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what gives me peace? And that everything in life is temporary. And the greatest verse in the Bible is, it came to pass. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And God has promised us a place in heaven, and hallelujah, we're going there. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew 10 says, don't fear him that can destroy the body. Fear him that can destroy both the soul and body in hell. And God has given us the promise that if our earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we know what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, that God has got a place prepared for us in the heavens. He said this, we know that if our earthly tabernacle, house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that Christ has prepared for us. For in this we groan earnestly and desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing as God, who also given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know what the worst thing that can happen here? You could go to heaven. And that's the best thing. I saw Miss Maxine. She says, every night I pray and say, God, let this be the last night. I told her before she said that, I said, Miss Maxine, I said, you're 85, 86 years old. I said, don't worry. It's not going to be long, and you're going to go to bed one night and you're going to wake up in heaven, just like Brother Dan's dad did. He went to, I'm glad for all of our seniors that go to sleep at night and wake up at heaven in the morning. Amen. Man, their labor's in it. Their sorrow is over. The misery of this life. And what's going to happen, that are horrible things that are going to happen, they're not going to see it. They're going to that place that God's prepared, where there's no pain and sorrow and tears, and the former things are passed away. Thank God he's the great provider. Thank God he's the great preparer. Thank God, in closing, he's the great protector. And they say, what about the rest of us who aren't going to heaven right away? Well, God will take care of you. God, you understand something? God is my Father. He's my Father. And he's my big brother. And guess who's going to take care of me? When I got in trouble as a kid, I always said, Dad, Dad, Dad! Or I said, Joe! Now I just cry out to Jesus. Because he can fight my battles better than I can. And he's a great protector. I'm thankful for Hebrews chapter number 13. This is a great promise in the Bible. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. The Bible says, well, time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Our confidence and our trust has got to be in Jesus Christ. And when you read Romans chapter 8, hey, does God know this is going to happen? Did God know 6 months ago we'd be right where we are today? Yes, He knew that. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Hey, God knows all about this, and He's working it together for our good and for His glory. He said in verse number 31, what shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you something. God is taking this thing and working it out for our good and for His honor and glory. You say, I can't see it. You don't have to see it. Listen, my kids could never see what we were doing. They couldn't understand what we were doing. They said, Dad has lost his mind. I didn't lose my mind. I was following God. And there are a lot of people who don't understand. I guarantee you the world doesn't understand why you're sitting in this church this morning. They don't understand that. Because the world always eliminates God. And they are overcome with fear. Now, should we use a shred of common sense? Yes. Should we be shaking hands with each other right now? No. Should you be using hand sanitizer? Yes. If you're sick, should you be here? No. Do we have to have a shred of common sense? Yes. Should you be listening to the Holy Spirit? If God says come, come. If God says stay home, stay home. Listen to the Lord. Be faithful to Him. Do the things that you know are right. The church will survive. What did Jesus tell Peter? He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Coronavirus cannot close the church. And I'm not talking about the back doors. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ as a whole. If every church in America has to close the doors and go to video church, the church is still alive. Because the church is not this building. Should Christians do what they're supposed to do? Yes. Should we meet if we can? Yes. Should we, if forced to, gather in people's homes a handful at a time? Sure. Hey, if you got to meet with two or three in someone's house, it's okay. Should we be doing some things? Yes. But the bottom line is God is in control of all of it. And the key here, is to let the peace of God rule in your heart. And not be filled with panic.